John the Baptist in Luke's Gospel are heavily intertwined. And we start off the Gospel by hearing about John and the prediction of John's birth, and then it's interrupted by the predictions of Jesus' birth. And now we get back to John the Baptist. We see that each element of John's birth, John the Baptist, is a fulfillment of Jesus, that who was long promised. And the announcement of John's birth is a fulfillment of the big themes of salvation coming through Luke's Gospel. And when Elizabeth and the neighbours and the relatives heard of the birth of this child, it had fulfilled the prediction that the angel said in chapter 1, verse 14, that many will rejoice at his birth. John's name was the name given to him by the angel Gabriel. And when Zechariah emphatically declares his name to be John, then he gets his voice back. He sets everyone in the region wondering, who is this boy? What's going on? We haven't seen anything like this before. And the neighbours hear about John's safe birth, and they celebrate. And they celebrate the goodness and mercy of God to Elizabeth. The celebration was twofold. First of all, the fact that Elizabeth was a very old woman and was said to be barren, and she had a child in her old age. And also the second celebration, that the mother and child are well. Well, we're going to hear the Word of God read to us from Lyndon. So if we could find Luke chapter 1.
So today's reading comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through to 79, and it's on page 724 of the Church Bibles. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace."
Did you hear about the man who wanted to become a monk? He joined a silent order, and they were only allowed to say two words every 10 years. And so, after 10 years, he met the abbot and said two words. "Bed hard." So they organised more straw for his bed and he was happy. 10 years later, his chance to say the two words. And he rolls up to the abbot and says, "Too cold." So they organise a thicker habit for the monk to wear. 10 years roll by again, and he rolls up to the abbot, and his words were, "I'm leaving." The abbot then breaks out into quite a lot of speech and says, "I'm not surprised. All you've done since you've been here is complain. I wonder what you would say if you had only a few words to say and it was a long time. What would you say? Perhaps you'd store up all those things you wanted to say and couldn't, and now you had the chance. When you were silent, now you could speak. Or maybe you could complain about not being able to speak, or complain about something that's happening, and here's your chance to ventilate. Or maybe in our reading here, your words would be like Zechariah's. After at least 9 months of silence, immediately he begins to praise God to the amazement of his friends and neighbours. Just imagine what they witness. This kind, elderly, sort of neighbourly guy. Just an ordinary person in many respects. But strange things have happened. Zechariah is dumbstruck. Ever since the last visit to Jerusalem to minister in the temple, and what's even more surprising is Elizabeth is expecting a baby. They've begun decorating the nursery, no doubt. There was the cot, and they're preparing for the birth, and at her age. Now, we know what was happening because we read it in the very first verses of Luke's Gospel, that here in the temple, Zechariah met the angel Gabriel and told him that he was going to have a son, and he was going to call him John. Well, Zechariah didn't believe it. He became mute, unable to speak until the time occurred. You know, he disbelieved the angel. He said, "Show me a sign." There's a lot of been said over the years about putting out a fleece. I don't know if you've had people, I've thought about it too, putting out a fleece. You know, "God, is this is right for me? I'll do this and this will happen. And I'll believe you." Well, first of all, I want to say putting out a fleece is a sign of unbelief. It's actually wrong. And we see for Zechariah, he was disciplined for not trusting God. And so we don't take Zechariah's example here of putting fleece or disbelieving God. And so when it comes to naming the child, he gets it now. He's been disciplined. And when the baby is born on the eighth day, he's brought forward to be circumcised. And the neighbours are expecting that they will call him Zechariah after his father. Elizabeth and then Zechariah write on a tablet. By the way, it's not on an iPad, he writes. And they make sure that his name is John, as the angel declared. And at just at that moment, Zechariah's tongue is loosed and he can speak after a long silence. Now put yourself in the shoes of the neighbours as they're observing what's happening here. Have you ever seen something like this happen? A strange birth in strange circumstances, and suddenly Zechariah is able to speak again, and also this boy's name is now John. The name John was not a family name, and by not calling the baby Zechariah, it meant that this baby would not walk in his father's shoes. John would not be a priest in Israel. And the priestly line of that family would be lost from that family forever. But God had greater things in store for John, as everyone was wondering. It says in verse 66, no wonder they asked the question, "What then will this child become?" It's the talking point around the fireplace or the marketplace or in the field or at the school. Zechariah then sings this prophetic song, a bit like Mary did 3 months earlier. And what we heard last week in Mary's song called the Magnificat, Steve brought to us that message last week. And Zechariah's song, he now breaks it out. It's often referred to as the Benedictus. Now, the word Benedictus is a Latin for the first word of this song. And it means blessed. Blessed. Although the NIV translates it praise. Back in the 1970s, I remember not many of us perhaps were in church in the 1970s, but we used to sing a canticle. Now, I'm not going to do it because I'm a bit embarrassed by the canticle thing, but we used to sing this song in church. The Benedictus on the second form of communion, actually. And it's a good song to sing, but maybe not to a canticle. But it's good to see God's goodness and mercy and the fulfillment of all that has been said in the past and the salvation that is to come. So let me read to you some of those verses. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise," or blessed, "praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through the prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us." Zechariah's prophetic words were familiar words because they were put in the form of how a praise would be said in the Old Testament. And God is to be blessed, or praised in the NIV, because he is faithful to his covenant promises and that he made to his people long ago. And he's going to deliver these promises through the coming Messiah. Those covenant promises are being fulfilled in the births of John and Jesus. Zechariah answers the question that people have been asking as he bursts out into prophecy. And this is how Luke wants us to see these songs of praise. That they're songs of praise about salvation. He begins with the big statement, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." So Zechariah is praising God, lifting his voice to the Lord God of Israel. Why? It's all about what God has done. And it's all about what God is going to do. Firstly, God is looking favorably on his people. He's looking favorably on them. As God looks on his people with favor, he's showing grace, we see in this song. Grace to redeem them. Imagine you're standing at your kitchen sink and you're looking out the window as you're washing up. And I know it might require a fair bit of imagination for some of you guys, but just imagine it. You're washing up at the sink and you're looking out the window and a coloured grass parrot comes flying and hits the window pane, bang, and falls down just outside the window on the ground. You go outside to see what has happened and you see it's broken a wing and no doubt it had a sore neck or a sore beak or something like that. And you would take pity on it, wouldn't you? Oh, poor bird. It's helpless. And it's in a hopeless predicament. It's in need. I need to rescue it. I need to redeem it. Friends, this is the exact state Israel was in. They were hopeless and helpless and needed redemption. And it was coming, this redemption. And Zechariah praises God because God has redeemed them. He says in this song, "He has raised up a mighty Saviour for us in the house of his servant David." He's speaking of Jesus. Now remember actually, Mary's only 3 months pregnant. Jesus hasn't been born yet. But he's talking about the Saviour who's going to redeem. Yeah, it's a definite thing. And it's as good as it has happened. So Zechariah can say, Jesus is on his way. Our Saviour is coming. But why? What things happen in this way at this time? He says, he's raised up a mighty Saviour as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. Zechariah is praising God because he has sent the Saviour. The Saviour who, if we flip through the pages of the Old Testament, we see over and over and over again, is foretold. He's going to come. He's going to come. And Zechariah is saying, God, you promised that this would happen, and it's happening now in my life, in this generation, and coming to Israel. So in order for us to understand what God is doing, we need to be reading our Old Testaments and see what God has promised. There's the covenant with Abraham. There's the mercy promised to his ancestors and the whole goal of salvation. And he says the goal of salvation is there that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Friends, this is remarkable that God has redeemed us, and Zechariah gets it right, of course. He says that it's through the forgiveness of our sins. How can we be saved from our enemies? By the power of forgiveness. How can we serve him in holiness and righteousness? By the power of forgiveness of our sins. How can we receive peace? By the power of God's forgiveness. As Zechariah continues to praise God, he now turns to his own family, to his own son, who has just been born. And he addresses his son. What will this child become? We read in verse 76. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you'll go before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to you, to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. John will get people ready for Jesus. We know that. And when it happens, we see John goes out in the wilderness. He preaches repentance, calling the people to be baptized, calling people to turn away from their sins, because baptism is a sign of repentance. And so, do you see how this all fits together? John gives the people knowledge of salvation by forgiveness of sins. And then the Saviour comes, and he comes to take away the sins of the world. Excuse me. And so, Zechariah sees the mercy of God as we come and see Jesus, who's the one who removes sin. And so, in Luke 78, verse 1, verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God, he refers to what's happening is like the dawning of a new sunrise. He says that it's like a light shining bright after a darkened period. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our way in peace. No wonder then that Jesus describes himself as the light of the world, bringing salvation, guiding us, giving us hope and comfort in darkness and in death. All this is possible because God is sending his Son And John is preparing the people that they might receive their Saviour. It's the reason Zechariah praises God. The Saviour long promised has come. The light instead of darkness, the peace instead of fear, the joy instead of despair, and the holiness and righteousness instead of sin. But it's only for those who accept the Saviour. I wonder if you could join in Zechariah's song, rejoicing in what God has done for you, that He's the Saviour, He's your Saviour. Because that's what Zechariah saw. And you and I, as we do this, as just like Zechariah did, had great joy and peace as he saw God's hand and plan at work in his life and around him. Let me try and bring a couple of 2 points of application to what we've already heard this morning. And that is of joy. Now, this last week, I don't know, you probably do, has been a real tough one for me. I've sat down with my dad and held his hand as he died. That was pretty tough. And I had to take his funeral service. I had to speak, you know, to preach at the service, which was fine. It was pretty tough, but. And I know my dad. I'm so blessed. He's with Jesus in heaven now. It's just incredible. I know that. And for me, there is great rejoicing knowing that my dad is there with God and no more pain and no more cancer. But at the same time, I do experience the pain of his passing. You know, I know he's in heaven, but one day I need to be, I'll see him, but I just need to be patient in the here and now as I go to see him one day. But I want to say it's normal for grief, that it can sap the joy out of you and your energy. It's normal. It's normal. Yesterday, we've spoken a bit about the Carol Spectacular. I went to two of them, actually, funny about that. I experienced something that I think we need to hear, particularly in the light of singing songs. Yesterday, the Carol Spectacular at the Ponds High School. You know what? I found something very helpful there. Something, I'd have to say, was real joy. I was able to sing praises to our God of what Jesus has done for me. In the Christmas songs and celebrations. It's a bit like Zechariah. I found great encouragement for me in my time of loss to see God at work and to sing that out. And the greatest benedictus or praise to God is to make Him known to others. And this certainly was the case as some of you were there at the Carol Spectacular yesterday. And, if you come this afternoon or tonight. But there's something about singing the goodness of God that we do here every Sunday. We've already done. There's something about singing the goodness of God that fills our souls, draws us nearer to God because we're doing what we should be doing, and it affects us as a whole being and encourages the saints together. There's something about that. We were meant to do that. By the way, we're going to be doing it in heaven all the time, so I might as well get used to it now anyway. But there's something about the ministry of declaring the goodness of God to ourselves and others that is very comforting and healing. The second point of application, as I reflected upon this benedictus, is that Zechariah was an old man. Don't know how old was old, but pretty old. And this old man was able to see the promises of God coming to fruition in his own time and in God's way. He's a man despite his mature years. He's a man despite his well-established faith in God. He sees that he still needs to grow in his understanding of God and his service for him. But it's easy, isn't it, after you've been a Christian for a few years or maybe a few decades, just to, I don't know, take it a bit easy, switch in cruise control in our faith and coast along. We've all done that, haven't we? Just let this happen. But that's not God's plan for Zechariah. Nor is it God's plan for me. Nor is it God's plan for you. We need to be going forward and growing in faith and dependence upon the Lord Jesus. And it's important, friends, to end well. We've heard a man this morning tell us about coming to faith in Christ. That is so good. And let us continue and go strong in our faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have raised up a mighty salvation in the birth, the life, the death, and the burial and resurrection of Jesus. And we thank you for this season of Christmas that we're reminded of this. And in Zechariah's special song, help us to live out our lives in joyful testimony to you and what Jesus has meant to us. And we pray for ourselves that we might continually grow in our faith in the likeness of Jesus. And Lord God, help us all to express our praise to you in our hearts, in our hands, in our thoughts, in our words and songs and actions. And I pray, Lord, that you would use us to glorify you in our lives and to build up your kingdom around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.